regular meeting 2013-13 to order. Please rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Dibdow?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Special order of business. Madam Manager?
Yes, I'd like to invite our new police chief, Bryce Johnson, to come up and can say a little bit about himself. He can sit right up here. He was sworn in this morning at JPD.
All right.
It was like Christmas this morning. They gave me a new gun. They didn't give me any bullets, though. I thought that was kind of funny. I asked, can I have one? And like Barney used to have. But it is an honor to be here. I'm excited. My family is excited. They will be here in, next week. They all fly in on Saturday, so we're just excited to live here now. And I heard Mr. Wanamaker request a short meeting when he got in here, and so I will try to be brief. But this is easier if you're the fire department, because I found that everyone loves the fire guys and hates the cops, because the fire guys go and save you, and all we do is take you to jail. And I have a very good friend who had a sign over his desk, and it read, there is no human condition that can't be made worse by the presence of a police officer. And, you know, and that's kind of, yeah, Mayor shaking his head, yeah. I was a very young police officer, and I responded on a call. It was an arson investigation. And it turned out there were kids that had taken newspapers, bundles of newspapers, and they'd saturated them in gasoline and lit them on fire in front of people's houses. And so I responded to the first call, and the fire department was there, and they were putting out the fire in front of these people's house. And I did the investigation. They told me, yeah, there were two or three other ones, and they told me where they'd been to put these out and where the other address was. So I got back in my car, and I drove up to the next house that had this fire lit in front of their house. And I got up there, and the thing was still on fire. And so I got on my radio, being a very proud police officer, and said, let the fire guys know they missed this one, but they don't need to come back. I'll take care of it for them. So I went to my trunk, and I pulled out my fire extinguisher, and I'd been trained. You left or right at the base, back and forth. That'll put the fire out. So I got in front of this thing on fire. I got my fire extinguisher left or right, and I blew burning newspaper all over these people's house. It blew up on top of their house. It blew everywhere on this house. And I was quickly back on the radio, and much more humble police officers. You please ask the fire department to come here and not let me burn down these people's house, because I felt really bad. But I learned a lot of things of that. Number one, I learned it's okay to ask for help every now and again. We don't know everything. It's okay to ask for help. Number two, when things are burning, you can make it worse. You need to be careful when things are on fire. Make sure you know what you're doing, and because you can certainly make it worse. And you know, I will try very hard to help the police department be very responsive to what the community wants. I think you have an absolutely fantastic police department. Some of the things that Chief Browning did and Chief Decker were incredible. They have a very well-oiled machine. I got to go around and see a lot of different police departments and see kind of how they were operating, what they were doing. And JPD is a fantastic place. It truly is. Hopefully, you know, we can get together and even be a little bit better. But that will be a challenge for me, because it was ran very efficiently and very well. I would very much like it to be very responsive to what you would like. I think it's important that the police department's responsive to the community, and you are representatives of the community. So I don't know how I need to learn how the department ties back to you, how you are communicating with the department, what your needs are, what your concerns are. I need to learn how that process is taking place. And hopefully we can make it a very good flow back and forth, so you have a contact that you can call when you see a problem, and that we can be very responsive back to what you see, because you know, the cops will go after the bad guys. That's what we do. And we'll get the big ones because we love doing it. Every officer I've ever known would love to chase and run down the bad guys. But sometimes the problems you care most about are the smaller ones that it's maybe in the nature of people to not want to go after quite as bad. So as we can be responsive to you, we will. I'd really like to do that. Do you have any questions for me or things you want to tell me to do as I get started? Or
Mr. Johnson, I promise you, you will have plenty of input, not only from your assembly members, but from the citizens as well. And I would just like to say that, you know, I was on the fire department for a number of years, and there's a great deal of respect there back and forth, and I'm sure from the assembly as a whole, the police department has done a good job for us, made some mistakes just like all of us, but overall have done a great job for us, and we truly respect what you guys do and how you provide service for our community. So it's very important to me, and I know the rest of the assembly members, to look at that and see you forward in a good positive direction, which I'm sure we will.
We're excited, so we're gonna go forward.
All right. Any comments? All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. All right. Manager's request for agenda changes.
None. Thank you.
Thank you. No manager's request for agenda changes. We'll go back up to approval of minutes. Thank you, Madam Becker, for keeping me in line here. Can I get a motion for the regular assembly minutes 2013-12?
Move approval.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Are there any objections or corrections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Public participation on non-agenda items. We have three people signed up to talk to us. One of them is about noise and fireworks. Mr. Hartle, can we take that up separately from the noise ordinance today?
Mr. Mayor, we could. It's not really on the agenda for public comment. It's just introduction tonight, the noise ordinance.
And I think this is more in a general terms of fireworks noise. So we'll approve it. So we have three people that want to participate. We'll give everybody 4 minutes. And Ms. Lorraine Murray is first off. Come forward.
4 minutes.
That's much more than normal.
Pardon?
That's much more than normal.
Okay, well, I'll speak really fast, so forgive me if you don't understand what I'm
saying. Name and rank.
My name is Lorraine Murray. I'm a Juneau resident of Lifelong. I work at ALMP Power Company. Okay, ready to begin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Juneau needs its own firework ordinance, one that fits the needs of our community. We should not be using the one-size-fits-all state firework law. Most other communities in Alaska have their own unique ordinance that restricts the use of fireworks. It's time we had ours. This past New Year's, the noise from fireworks near my home exceeded the capacity of my sound meter, which is 130 decibels. The blasting lasted 8 hours. I ended up fleeing my home. Just last month, fireworks were going off near my home. When I called JPD, the first thing that dispatch told me was that fireworks are legal in Juneau. Last summer, I sustained hearing damage from my neighbor's fireworks at 100 feet. Random blasting went on for the whole summer. I did not feel comfortable about leaving a window open or a pet outside all summer because of the blasting. We should not be allowing an activity in our residential areas that is harmful and so disruptive to others. I do not believe that the residents of Juneau should be treated like problem wildlife and dissuaded from being in their home. We all have a right to enjoy the holidays and our summers. These times are not just reserved for people that like to set off explosives. The truth is, fireworks were unintentionally legalized in Juneau with the overall sweeping Title 19 building code adoption in 2006. As a result, many people in Juneau are now having serious problems with these explosive fireworks, and the problem is growing. Legalizing the use of fireworks was an extremely significant change for our community and to our laws regarding the use of fireworks. but there was no public notification or commenting period provided by CBJ so that the public could give input on this. The public has a legitimate right to be part of the lawmaking process. There was also no appropriate evaluation as to the effects legalizing the use of these explosives, fireworks, would have on our community, on the public's health, safety, or well-being. Yes, there are people that like to set off loud exploding fireworks, but these fireworks should not be forced on other people. Nobody should be forced, bullied, or coerced into enduring anything that is harmful to them. The one place we all have a right to feel safe and be free from fear is in our own homes. Residents also have a right to protect themselves, their pets, and family members. However, people can't protect themselves if they don't know where or when these explosive fireworks are being used. Impulsive noise from today's fireworks exceeds our local and national guidelines for healthy noise levels and will cause immediate and permanent injury to hearing. Allowing the use of fireworks in residential areas contradicts our comprehensive plan, zoning laws, and noise policies. Our comprehensive plan states that residential areas have been established to provide a healthy, safe, and pleasant environment for residential living, protected from incompatible and disrupted activities. We should be able to walk freely in our neighborhoods with pets and children without the threat of fireworks going off. I grew up in Juneau. Our cultural norm has been that fireworks are used during public displays on the 3rd of July for about an hour, weather permitting. Fireworks have not been permitted anywhere else. Our disturbing the peace and no destructive device laws were enforced and respected in our community. And as far as I can tell, these two laws still trump the state firework law today because these two laws are more restrictive than the state firework law, and there has been no appropriate legal public process to change that. If people want to change our firework law, then they should go through the appropriate public process to change it. I respectfully request our city and assembly to move forward with this and work to create an appropriate firework policy for Juneau, because right now, Juneau's firework policy is anyone's best guess. I know I speak for hundreds, if not thousands, of people in Juneau that no longer want explosive fireworks set off near their homes. Thank you very much. And I cut some stuff out. Here's some copies. Thank you.
Stay there a minute, Ms. Murray.
Okay.
See if there's any questions here. Is there any questions for Ms. Murray? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
And you've seen the ordinance that's under proposal for disturbing the peace that's being introduced tonight?
I saw it a little bit ago. I don't know if it's changed. If the last time I saw it, it did say something about allowing a couple days of fireworks.
And Ms. Murray, if you go ahead and sit down, relax.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You don't have to.
Oh, okay.
And so, what I wanted to make sure that you know and get a copy of that ordinance, okay, and see whether or not it fits your thoughts and ideas. And that's the noise ordinance and disturbing the peace ordinance that we're looking at right now and are going to start moving forward. So
it's still open for public input.
The next meeting.
At the next meeting. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much for doing that.
Thank you, Ms. Murray. And next person on the agenda to speak is Vicki Williams.
Hi. My daughter also wants to speak after you, so
can you bring her up at the same time? Bring a chair up next to you there. And ma'am, are you speaking about budget then?
Yes, and that's why I thought we had to wait until...
Right. Excuse me. I'm sorry. You do.
Okay.
Until we get to the budget item. I'm sorry. And pool closure, Dorothy Kurterbach wants to speak about the pool closure. So, okay.
I thought that fit in with the budget.
Yeah, it does. And so we'll listen to both of you at that time when we get to it. I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay. So we'll move forward from public participation to the consent agenda. Are there any public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinance for introduction? Seeing none. Assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Seeing none. Assembly action, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? So ordered. We'll move on to public hearing on public ordinances. And Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2013-16, An ordinance specifying a penalty for engaging in commercial solicitation within the downtown historic district and adjacent areas.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Admin report, Madam Manager.
This ordinance would specify the penalty for violating the recently adopted commercial solicitation hawking ordinance at $150 per violation. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Public comment, is there anybody out there in the public who wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Madam Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of ordinance 2013-16 and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? So ordered. Madam Clerk, ordinance 2013-18.
An ordinance amending the land management code.
Admin report.
This ordinance is the third in a series of ordinances being prepared as part of the comprehensive review and revision of Title 53, that part of the municipal code that addresses the acquisition, management, and sale of CBJ real property. Specifically, this ordinance proposes changes pertaining to the disposal of CBJ land. The revisions noted in Ordinance 2013-18 are intended to clarify Title 53 by consolidating the general provisions that are relevant to all methods of land disposals into one location rather than restating the universal provisions under each type of land disposal. The Docks and Harbors Board reviewed this ordinance at its March 28, 2013 meeting and recommended approval. The Airport Board reviewed this ordinance at its April 10, 2013 meeting and expressed concerns about the relevancy of this ordinance to airport land because of the restricted status of airport property due to federal grant money. The city's attorney has determined that federal restrictions on property must be addressed regardless whether land is managed by the airport or other CBJ departments, and has further determined the proposed ordinance as written neither diminishes nor compromises the CBJ's obligation or intent to honor the terms of those restrictions. Therefore, no changes are needed to this proposed ordinance. The Lands Committee reviewed this ordinance at its meeting on November 19, 2012, and again on April 29, 2013. At its April 29th meeting, the Lands Committee recommended forward the ordinance to the full assembly for approval. To add clarity, minor changes to the proposed text describing the process concerning pre-authorization to negotiated sales have been added to the ordinance in response to concerns expressed at that Lands Committee meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I'll open this up to public comment. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move forward with assembly action. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of ordinance 2013-18 and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Mr. Keel?
At least for the purpose of a question.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. there are a number of substantive changes in here along with the cleanup, most of which make a lot of sense to me. One, I'm not sure I understand the reasoning behind. In the preceding, in the existing code, there's kind of a one per person rule for a land lottery or for a land auction. I think the lottery, if you've won the right to buy a parcel in the previous 10 years, you don't get to buy another. In the auction, I think you can win one parcel per auction. And both of those, as I read the proposal, are eliminated. Anybody shows up, buys as many parcels, plots they want, and I'm curious as to the reasoning behind that. It would seem to me that it reduces the city's flexibility in future land sales to structure things to get the greatest benefit or result, and increases the likelihood of, for lack of a better term, warehousing. And I wondered if I could get some help understanding why this changes to our benefit.
So, Mr. Keel, then that's on page 4, lottery sales, lines 8 through 12.
Mr. Mayor, looking at the full marked-up version with all the strike-throughs and italics, page 3, line 2, I guess 1 through 5, really, would be for the lotteries, that you'll see that exclusion struck. And then for the auctions, I see page 9, lines 22 through 24. If you won one in this auction, you don't get to bid on another one at this same auction. That gets struck. So those are the provisions I'm focused on.
Mr. Hartle?
I could simply answer that was at the request of the previous lands manager, policy change she wanted to see. I'm trying to remember the rationale. I can't really accept it. I think it was to just basically increase the market for CBJ land sales
rather than
restricting the market.
At this point, what I understand from talking to Cynthia Johnson about this issue is that people were able to game the system. There were so many imaginative ways to get around that by having relatives, multiple relatives apply for the same thing, using different bidding strategies, that by the time it was done, if somebody wanted to put on more than one bid or bid in more frequently than the code allowed, there was a way they could do it. So it was an unenforceable issue, and it was just frustrating to try to enforce, because there was always a way around it. So to my best of my knowledge, that's the way they decided to eliminate it.
Mr. Keel, follow-up?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any other questions? Go ahead. Go ahead, Karen.
On page 5, it talks about the award of a bid in which the development proposal is a significant factor in the award is subject to approval by the assembly. Is there going to be any requirement that if a development proposal is awarded, that they must in some time frame follow through on that development proposal so that the land doesn't end up just sitting there and undeveloped? Would that be part of the manager's requirement? Would that be something that the assembly dealt with? Have we thought about that particular factor?
I know we have in the past, Ms. Crane, but I don't know about this go around here. So, Mr. Hartle?
Yes, there's also the general provision at the top of page 2 that terms and conditions for each land sale shall be approved by the assembly by ordinance. So I think that would
go in there.
If that was the policy the assembly wanted, then I think that's what would happen.
Okay.
And I guess I would just sometimes assembly members change and rotate quite rapidly, and sometimes not. And if you don't have the historical, you know, exception there, or staff's even historical, you know, read into it to give the assembly members that option, then we might lose the possibility of that option a little bit. So I'm glad to see that that's there like that at least, but we need to probably look at it again in the future here and see if we want to do anything differently. Are there any other comments, questions? All right. Is there any objections to this ordinance passing? Seeing none, so ordered. And this is one of those ordinances that was in our file for a long time. Thanks, Mr. Hartle and CDD and Lands, for moving part of this forward. I know there's a couple other moving parts of it, but we're making headway. Thank you. Okay, unfinished business. Madam Clerk, if you'll read the first order of business 2013-11B.
An ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for FY14 city and borough operations.
Thank you. Administrative report.
This ordinance would appropriate $313,610,300 for the FY14 operating budget, excluding the school district. It is necessary to appropriate all transfers between funds that support operations, debt service, and capital projects, as well as the associated expenditures within the funds themselves. These transfers account for $85,575,700 of the FY14 operating budget. Excluding the transfers in school district, the CBJ FY14 operating budget, debt service, and capital projects is $228,034,600. Ordinance 2013-11 was introduced at a special assembly meeting on April 3, 2013, and referred to the Finance Committee. The Assembly held a public hearing on the ordinance at its April 22, 2013 meeting. The Finance Committee held 6 meetings to hear presentations and review the budget detail. Based on the outcome of these meetings, a version B of the ordinance was reviewed at the May 29, 2013 Finance Committee meeting. The committee reviewed this ordinance and recommended the amended ordinance to the full Assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And this is the time when we'll take public comment on the next 3 ordinances, and this will be for this ordinance, 2013-11B. And we have a Ms. Vicki Williams and her daughter, Dorothy, and both come forward. Bring a slide of chair up next to you, if you would, Ms. Williams. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us talk. We actually just decided to come speak to you tonight, this afternoon. And it was as a result of my daughter accompanying me today when I was trying to gather some information on how the pool closure that's in the budget impacts. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Vicki Williams, 8911 Sleepy Court, for the records. I should also let you know that I am the treasurer of the Glacier Swim Club. So I was trying to ascertain the impact to the Glacier Swim Club of closing the Valley Pool at 10:30 on Monday. And I was told there's no impact. And that surprises me, since we have a program that runs after school Monday through Friday at both pools. We have approximately 200 kids in our program. If we're not able to practice at the Valley Pool, then I was trying to figure out how much that would be in fees for us not paying and fees that you wouldn't get, and if that was factored into your $39,000. I have not been able to determine that. I don't think that was included in the numbers. Then it led me to think, what about the other users? You've got several users at the Valley Pool. Do they know what's happening? And has this gone through the Aquatics Advisory Committee Board? My understanding is that the Assembly extended the term, the life, whatever you call it, of the Aquatics Advisory Board, and that they're there to advise the city on impacts of operations of the two pools. I would think that that would be a great sounding board for seeing how does this really impact all the users of the community, and are there other ways that we can make changes to increase user time there versus just closing it? It's a fairly new facility. I know they've worked with ideas on having more users at the Augustus Brown Pool. They're adding some equipment there. The Glacier Swim Club did contribute some money towards that recently. And that was my thought. Has the advisory board been asked to look at this? Have they given their input? And what I found is that that has not been discussed at all at the Aquatic Advisory Board. Other users that I think are impacted, and I don't know if they know, it will impact, I believe, the lesson program at the Juneau School District. We do the lesson program at the Juneau School District. We run it Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 in the afternoon. We have approximately 400 fourth graders that we worked with this year. 75% of those are at the Valley Pool. The other are at the downtown pool. So there goes Monday. We don't know if we're going to run it Tuesday through Friday, and then another Tuesday. Nothing has been discussed on how that is going to operate. Is there room in the morning to even add it into the morning session? What we've been told is at 10:30 on Monday, the pool is closing, and no one will be allowed into the building after 11 a.m. on Mondays. And when we heard that this afternoon in a meeting, well, it was actually just a discussion. It wasn't a formal meeting. On the way home, my daughter said to me, I want to go talk at that meeting because the people you were talking to didn't know that it impacted my swim club. And so what I've done, I allowed her to write in her own words. I have not altered it whatsoever. I thought this would be a great learning opportunity for her to see how government works and to allow her. So if you're okay with that, I'll switch seats here.
And Ms. Dorothy Kurterbach, state your name and residence, and give us your testimony, please.
My name is Dorothy Kurterbach, and I live on 8911 Sleepy Court. And during the school year, me and my friends have swim practice from 3:30 to 5 o'clock, Monday to Friday. Last year, in my group, from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we had five lanes, and most of the time there were 2 to 5 people in each lane. What other activities are people going to do on Mondays? What if it's raining? Are they just going to sit around and watch TV and playing video games? I think that keeping the pool open past 10:30 offers a healthy alternative to watching TV and playing video games. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
All right. Ms. Kurterbach, is there any questions for either? Thank you both for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And maybe we'll move forward to assembly. Anybody else wish to comment on this out there from the public? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Ms. Crane?
I move adoption of Ordinance 2013-11B and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. And I would just advise you to keep following up with the pool group and with Ms. Kiefer and the management about what they're going to do exactly. So, okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you, Dorothy. Okay. We'll move forward on the next item. Madam Clerk.
2013-12B, an ordinance establishing the rate of levy for property taxes for calendar year 2013 for fiscal year 2014.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Admin report, Ms. Kiefer.
This ordinance would establish the mill rates for property tax for 2013, which funds the CBJ FY14 operating budget. This ordinance would adopt a total mill levy of 10.66, including a 9.26 mills for operations and 1.40 mills for debt service. The debt service is at 0.11 mill increase from FY13. The operationals mill rate is unchanged from FY13 and a reduction of 0.23 mills from the ordinance as originally introduced. The mill levies presented in this ordinance support the manager's FY14 budget as amended by the Assembly Finance Committee. The Assembly Finance Committee approved a motion on May 29, 2013 to move this proposed mill rate, these proposed mill rates onto the Assembly for action tonight. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Hearing none, we'll move forward. Assembly action. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of Ordinance 2013-12B, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Mr. Dibdahl, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, loud and clear. Thanks, Johan. Okay, so that 2013-12B is approved. We'll move forward, Madam Clerk, to 2640B.
A resolution adopting the City and Borough Capital Improvement Program for fiscal years 2014 through 2019 and establishing the capital improvement project priorities for fiscal year 2014.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Administrative report.
The Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed the CIP list at its meetings on February 4th, 25th, and April 8th and forwarded it on to the Finance Committee. The Planning Commission also reviewed the CIP list Plan at its March 28, 2013 meeting and submitted comments to the Public Works and Facilities Committee. The Finance Committee reviewed the CIP and resolution at its April 10, 2013 meeting. Version B of the resolution was introduced at the Finance Committee's May 29, 2013 meeting. The revisions included project changes, number one, reducing the cruise berth enhancement Seawalk State Marine Passenger Funds by $296,400, and number two, to move the water and wastewater projects into the unscheduled section. Also revised and updated the language in sections 1A, B, and C, and 2 and 3. The Finance Committee reviewed version B and recommended it forwarding to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this resolution be adopted.
Thank you. Madam Manager, is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on the resolution adopting the City and Borough Improvement CIP list? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move on to assembly action. Madam Crane?
I move adoption of Resolution 2640B and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Resolution 2640B is before us. Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Next, we'll move on to new business. New business is having to do with regulation for Juneau International Airport rates and fees. We have had several letters from airport tenants about this, and maybe what we need to do is have airport management come up and explain to us where we're at with all this, and then hear from the tenants and then move forward with our, and maybe first Mr. Hart will give us the options that we have for regulations.
Okay, sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a regulation issued under the CBJ Regulations Code 01.60, and it gives the Assembly three courses of action when the regulations come before it. You can take up the regulation and approve it, or you can move on, do nothing, in which case it will be approved, or you can actively disapprove the regulation and direct that it go back to the Airport Board.
Thank you, Mr. Hartle. Any questions? Okay, so let's, Madam Manager, we bring up the airport staff.
Sure. Hi, good evening. I'm Patty DeLabriere as Acting Airport Manager. And I just wanted to give a little briefing as to where we are up to today. And the airport held four finance meetings on February 27th, March 28th, April 4th, and April 9th, working with tenants. And I believe it was at last week's finance meeting presentation to the Assembly that I had mentioned when questioned by, I think, Ms. Crane, if the tenants, how the tenants reacted to this. And I was quite forthright in saying they're never in favor of increases. We did receive comments, but I think we had worked with them pretty well. I know that there's continued discussions and things after the fact, and actually we have, through the people here with the Airport Tenant User Group, and before I go any further, I'd like to actually have Mike Wilson, who represents the Airport Tenant Group, come up, because we are continuing to work with tenants on this.
Do you have anything else to say, Patty, to us about the...
No, not at this time, unless there's questions for me.
Is there
specifically
any questions for Patty up front here?
Mr.
Keel?
On time frame of implementation, my understanding is that these are phased in, and I don't have a phase, I don't see a phasing schedule. I may have missed it.
It's within the regulation itself, and you'll probably see just in a couple of areas. One is under land lease rates, another one under float pond, where we've actually outlined, and it may show up better on the clean copy, the clean version that you have, if you go into those sections. But that's how we work that out, and that's how the budget is structured.
Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Crane?
I have one question there. The letter from Mr. Wilson talks about the idea of retroactive adjustments, and there was no discussion of that at the Finance Committee, what is planned for retroactive adjustments?
At this point, we don't plan retroactive. Oh, they're already in there. It's not retroactive when we've talked about it. But certainly, we're constantly and will be looking at these throughout the year as well. And whether they go down or we adjust them somewhere along the line within FY14. There's a reason that we wouldn't do retroactive if these, say, don't go into effect July 1st. There are certain things that are tied to the transient and the people that you're collecting fees for right then and there, which would actually leave a gap in the budget. So you have transient people who are being tied down, landing fees and fuel flowage fees. There's no way to recap that as a retroactive fee.
Thank you. Any other questions for the airport manager? Seeing none, thank you, Patty. And you might sit up front there and just to make sure we've got it.
Mr. Mayor? Wilson?
Mr. Dibdahl, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to move orders of the day.
We've got one more person to listen to, Mr. Dibdahl, if we could.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Mr. Wilson?
Hi, Mike Wilson. I'm with Coastal Helicopters from Chino.
Go ahead, Mr. Wilson.
I'd just like to say that the tenants and users, we've had some discussions over the past couple weeks, and we've had some discussions with the manager and the finance committee chair, and we've come to an agreement that the tenants and users are going to work with the management and the airport board beginning in the June 12th meeting to discuss what we talk about is using some of the emergency funds to reduce some of these rates and fees instead of saddling the tenants and users with them. And the airport manager and the board has agreed to work with us. And
all right, thank you, Mr. Wilson. Ms. Crane?
It's a procedural question. If we adopt this, and they change the fees, do they have to come back to the assembly at all or not?
I'm not going to give my opinion. I'm going to let the law department tell us that.
Yes. Thank you. The airport sets its fees by regulation. The board may be able to delay implementation or small things like that at the very edges. I haven't, like Mr. Keel, studied the phase-in aspect of these regulations. Sorry if that's not a really clear answer.
It's not.
Do we, Mr. Hartle, the question really is, then do we have to have the airport board review the regulations, change them, and then for them to come back to us and us, the assembly, approve them is the simple.
That would certainly be the best procedure to do exactly that. Yeah. Without looking at their airport code, I believe it says they impose fees by regulation. And so if they're going to have a set of fees, they should be incorporated in their regulation. Plus, it gives the public a chance to comment on it, the assembly to chance to reject it or approve it. Mm-hmm. That certainly would be the best practice knowing what I know now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Jones?
Mr. Mayor, I assume that if they change the regulations and reduce the fees and wanted to use their contingency fund or whatever, they would then have to come back to the assembly on a budget amendment. Anyway, even if those regulations then got approved, there'd be a budget amendment to, instead of using those revenues to use their contingencies. So. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's going to come back.
Mr. Hartle?
The airport, being a part of the CBJ, cannot spend $1 that's not appropriated by the assembly. And you've already tonight approved their budget, and it's very detailed as to what funds they're spending from and what they're not spending from. So I think Mr. Jones' comment is right on.
Okay. Mr. Hernan Curvis?
Oh, nothing. I was just saying Mr. Dibdahl had spoken out earlier.
Mr. Dibdahl?
Yes. Is that motion for orders of the day appropriate now?
Yes, it is.
I would so move.
Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. Is there any objections? So ordered. Thank you very much. Thank you. Work closely together, you guys. Okay, we'll move forward to confirmation of 1% for art panel appointments.
Unless you want the manager's report.
Manager's report? Do you have anything to say here?
There's a memo in your packet that outlines who our recommendations are for the different projects moving forward for the 1%. So we've got the Gaston Elementary School project, and the recommendation is the manager selection for that 1% is Chris Dorsey, a Gaston school teacher. The recommendation for the cruise ship berth project, manager selection recommendation is Kirby Day. And for the library, the manager's recommendation is Ray Bennert.
Thank you. Are there any objections to those appointments? Mr. Keel, did you take any actions on this stuff?
Mr. Mayor, as I recall, the Assembly has made appointments to, I think, both the Mendenhall Library Project and the Cruise Berth Project. I don't believe we've received applications yet for Assembly appointments to the Gaston Elementary School Project. If I'm remembering the memo right, and I've missed one already tonight, so bear with me, I think we need to approve approve the Arts and Humanities Council appointees and the department representatives as well. And so I'm prepared to move approval of those per the manager's memo, if you're ready for that.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that for the Mendenhall Library Project, the Assembly approve the Juno Arts and Humanities Council appointments of Jeff Bush and Janet Schempf and the Department Representative Robert Barr. For the Cruise Ship Berth Project, that the Assembly approve the Arts and Humanities Council appointees Annie Calkins and Jeff Bush and Department Representative David Logan of the Docks and Harbors Board. And for the Gaston Elementary School Project, the Assembly approve the Arts and Humanities Council appointments Jutzler, I believe, and Mia Lager, and the Department Representative Brenda Edwards. I ask unanimous consent.
Thank you. Is there any objections? So ordered. Madam Manager, does that take care of your appointments, too? Do we need to?
You already called for unanimous consent on those.
Thank you.
Did it.
Either behind or ahead here.
Thank you. You're getting it done.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll move on to staff reports. Madam Manager, anything?
None, thank you.
Mr. Law Department.
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Let's see. We have coming up from the Law Department some old stuff, the noise ordinance or the disturbing the peace noise. Make sure everybody reads that and gets their input onto that. So we're moving forward on some of the things that we've identified through the Planning Commission that have been held up, and we want to move forward on. So that's good. And the lands stuff tonight was one of those older pieces of legislation that we're moving forward on. So that's good, too. We'll move forward to Assembly reports. I have one thing. And this morning I met with the Consulate General from the Philippines and the Ambassador from the Philippines in this room here with their entourage and discussed economic development stuff with them. The Ambassador is very intelligent and very interested in economic development for his country as a whole and is interested in ties to Alaska and what we can do to better both of our communities from his perspective, for sure. So a very interesting conversation and a good group of people and really good food tonight at their dinner. So thanks for them for coming, and we will not be losing the consul general or the person from San Francisco from not coming here. He'll be continuing to come because there are certain things that our consul general can't do, like passports and things of more importance will have to come through the consul general and the San Francisco office. So we'll be seeing him in the future every year still, which is a good thing, I think. Committee reports, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will read this report for the purpose of being shorter. Okay. The Committee of the Whole meeting of May 20th, we heard from four members of the Juneau Affordable Housing Commission. Their report agrees with the work of the Ad Hoc Housing Committee, and it includes the need for a housing study and developing a housing plan. Rory Watt gave an update of the downtown snow storage project. He included a considerable amount of information and history concerning this project. It should be completed by August of this year. Manager Kim Kiefer passed out a status report on the assembly goals showing the changes since January. This included the goals that are in process, the ones that are not started yet, and some that are still to come back to the assembly or committee, one of the committees for action. The Ad Hoc Housing Committee met on the 23rd of May. Engineering Director Rory Watt passed out a cost estimate for per foot of road construction. The approximate cost per foot is $1,219. This includes a 24-foot paved roadway, sidewalk on one side, open ditch on the other, water, sewer, curb, gutter, storm drainage system. The draft matrix with comments from staff will be reviewed at our next meeting, which perhaps will be on the 13th, if that works for everyone, and we'll get back to you on that for sure. Community Development Director Hal Hart presented the market study report. He suggested many items to do to remove the building barriers for downtown and the Willoughby District. Land Manager Greg Cheney shared the map showing the conceptual master plan for Peterson Hill and the development Area 2. He also passed out an evaluation matrix for that Peterson Hill, Schweitzer, and Under Thunder, showing the affordable housing development areas. A comparison of costs for permits and plan review for Juneau, Anchorage, Ketchikan, and Fairbanks was shared, showing Juneau lower than all except Ketchikan in the $350,000 single-family home dwelling and lower in of all of the cities mentioned in the $750,000 fourplex building. The committee has called the builders who have active building permits, and the reports have been mostly positive as to how things are going. When they were asked about their project, their current project, they were mostly positive. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Becker, Ms. Crane, Finance?
The Finance Committee completed their biggest item this evening with adoption of the budget, and so we will not be having Wednesday night meetings for a while. We're going to take a short break with finance.
Thank you, Ms. Green, and thanks for a good job, and thanks to staff for a great job and all the time. I know that we all are a little bit tired of the budget, and we're glad to see it get moved forward here. I would just suggest to the assembly members, if during this process you've seen some things that maybe we didn't fill in the right amount, get more information on certain items or not certain items, please in the next week or two get with Karen and tell her so that we can look at those suggestions and ideas on how to improve the system for next year. And so I know that there was three or four things that we have to follow up on. I think we have a tax item that we have to follow up on during the interim, and there was two or three other items and suggestions to follow up on. If you have any specifically, please get with Karen and let her know so she can start a list so that we can meet maybe once a month at the most and look at those things so that we better the process for next year. Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Green. Mr. Keel, HR.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met at noon today. We recommended a number of appointments to the Aquatic Facilities Advisory Board. We recommended reappointment of Tom Rutecki to a term expiring June 30 of 2016, and approval of Phil Losby as the school district representative for the same time period. We also recommended approval of Kate Walters as the PRAC representative, Parks and Rec Advisory Board Commission representative to the Aquatic Facilities Advisory Board until March 2nd of 2014.
Are there any objections to those appointments? Seeing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We heard an annual report from the Historic Resources Advisory Committee. We didn't have any applicants for a couple of openings, so let me just encourage the members to reach out to folks you know who are interested in the topic of our historic resources, our historic district, and Juneau history, and encourage them to apply. We'll leave those seats open. And then we recommended appointments to the Juneau Commission on Sustainability. Three members to terms expiring June 30, 2016. Those were reappointments of Kate Bevegni, Duff Mitchell, and Jennifer Leffing, as well as appointment of Amy Skillbred to the remainder of a term that ends June 30th, 2014.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Are there any objections to those appointments? Seeing none, so ordered.
And then shifting to the Ad Hoc Committee on City Attorney hire, the members have agreed we are not going to meet before the application deadline of June 10th. We will provide the clerks a date and an opportunity to provide full public notice for a meeting shortly after the application period closes to take a preliminary look at those applicants and make recommendations to the Assembly.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Keel. And Ms. Kiefer said that we had two people that have applied for that position already, and hopefully here in the next week, we'll 2 weeks, we'll get a few more. So that's good. Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Smith, lands.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a brief report in that the Lands Committee has been in a position where we're working with Mr. Cheney as the new Lands Director. His work plan is in progress. We're coming up with a new, more comprehensive schedule, and that's going to be delivered fairly shortly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Wanamaker, Public Works.
No report tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Let's move on to liaison reports. Mr. Wanamaker.
No report tonight. The school board and JADC have not had a meeting since our last meeting.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two brief reports. The Planning Commission at its May 28th meeting undertook a reconsideration of, I think it was the major agenda item, and that is a conditional use permit for the two-lane boat launch ramp at Stater Harbor. And the Planning Commission chose at that meeting to go into continuance on that issue for further fact-finding. Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau held their regular meeting on May 23rd for the purpose of approving their FY14 budget. And they also set a membership meeting, breakfast to be held June 28th at 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m., and a location will be announced at a later time.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The PRAC meeting, Parks and Rec Advisory Committee, scheduled meeting slash retreat that was scheduled for, I believe, tomorrow. I've already taken it off my calendar, but I believe it was for tomorrow, has been canceled. And the Wednesday meeting at 5:30 for the Juneau Commission on Sustainability is taking place at the Downtown Library. Once again, that's Wednesday evening at 5:30, and when I get to one of those, now that I'm no longer Finance Committee meetings, I'll have an update for you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Mr. Jones?
A couple of things, Mr. Mayor. In addition to the appointments we made to the Aquatic Advisory Board, there's still two vacancies on that board. For full terms, there were three vacancies and only one applicant this time. So if anybody knows anybody that wants to apply, they should do that. And Docks and Harbors, one of the issues on the bid was dealt with tonight. As Mr. Smith stated, they spent quite a bit of time in a special meeting and also at the last board meeting talking about the Planning Commission decision and their strategy around that. I know that CDD staff and and Carl, you can tell, met with some of the citizens out at Ock Bay on Friday afternoon to start, you know, some preliminary discussions about what they might do. So I know that they're also working on that. And at the last meeting, they had two representatives from the Corps of Engineers there, primarily to talk about the dispute resolution process within the federal government related to the Douglas Boat Harbor. And they're hoping that the federal EPA on within a couple of days this week will be dropping their dispute resolution if certain things happen, and Docks and Harbors is hoping that maybe in a couple months they might actually get back to doing something about finishing up the Douglas Boat Harbor. So between Douglas Boat Harbor and Statter and issues with EPA and the Corps of Engineers and the Planning Commission, they're pretty busy.
Yep.
We'll be interviewing a lot of candidates on Thursday night for the three positions that are open on Docks and Harbor. And then JEDC board meets Wednesday at noon.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Eagle Crest board met tonight. I will have to bring you a report at our next meeting. The Affordable Housing Commission meets tomorrow night. And Mr. Jones stole my reminder about our full assembly's resource committee meeting on Thursday.
And, you know, we have lots of quite a few applicants for those three boards. When we get into those boards, make sure we ask those people that don't get on the other boards to apply for a couple of these other boards. Remember somebody in the group, if you would. Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Dibdahl, do you have anything?
No, Mr. Mayor. I made the one meeting after initial appointment and liaison for the airport board, and all of our finance committee meetings have been at the same time, same day. It looks like I may be able to make two actually present and two by teleconference. So, you know, I was thinking that maybe someone else might be a better fit for the next 4 months. I'm a short timer.
I know, Mr. Dibdahl, and we appreciate all the work that you've done for us. And probably that's going to be Mr. Nankervis. We'll have to figure out his schedule. And
I just think, you know, it's kind of unfair, and that I have not been able to make those meetings there.
Right, right. And thank you, Mr. Dibdahl.
You bet.
We'll look into it, and I'll, Jerry, if you'll come and talk to me, and we'll see if you can fit it into your.
He's got nothing else to do but go fishing.
You get him, Mr. Dibdahl. Ms. Crane?
The hospital board is working on a number of issues, but I did want to say that they, at the last meeting, they are working to bring their bylaws into conformance with CBJ. That process is ongoing with the help from the law department and should be completed within the next month or so.
Good. Thanks, Ms. Crane. Appreciate it. And Alaska Coastal Rainforest, anything?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Alaska Committee is going to meet the 10th of July. There won't be a June meeting. And the Chamber Board is this Wednesday.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Southeast Conference is getting ready and setting up their September conference in Sitka. So try to make plans. If you go to Southeast Conference website, you can see the dates. I think it's around the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, somewhere along in there. So if you want to go to Sitka and hear some different transportation issues and utility issues, please come for that. 15th? Some of it? 15, 16, 17. And 18. That week, look at your schedules and try to set some of it aside. In your packet, in your three-ring binder, is a new set of goals along with the old ones. And you'll see Beth has put in there, and Lori, the add-ons that we did here in the fall when we met with the Planning Commission. So if you go through at least that first page and the second page, you can see the list of ordinances and things that we're working on or and goals that we set as the Assembly and that staff is working on. So and we got an update on all those here last week. Was that last week? Somewhere along the way, real close in the last month. And if you have any questions, that's in the front of your binders, everybody. Okay, Assembly comments and questions. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I didn't realize it until having that wonderful dinner tonight that the three of the four social activities that I had on behalf of the Assembly had to do with food. I thought that was pretty nice. On the 15th of May, I was able to make a few comments on behalf of you, Mr. Mayor, at the Phase 1 opening of Statter. And on the 19th, I got to go on the One People Canoe ride that opened up Maritime Festival. And I actually have a kind of a bad shoulder with a rotary tear, and the paddling was so good for my arm. Just the world should know. If you have a problem with your shoulder, go paddling. It really helped. And
we have risk management, Madam Becker.
Okay. They didn't tell me to do this, so maybe you need to hire me. I don't know. Anyway, and then on the 27th, I got to go on that gorgeous ship known as the Celebrity, Soltis, yep, and they fed us a little bit. That was very nice. I took part in that with the JCVB and the plaque exchange. And then, of course, the nice retirement party for Chief Browning, which was just fantastic and a very nice event. So, thank you.
All right. Mr. Wanamaker?
No comments tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Keel?
Only one I was going to mention, Chief Browning's retirement. Ms. Becker did that for us. On Saturday, I was able to go out to the National Trails Day volunteer work party at the Outer Point Trail. It's a joint project of Saga and Trail Mix with some help from CBJ Parks and Recreation. And you want to talk about a whole lot of hard work and a whole lot of volunteer hours leveraging a few dollars here and there. And my daughter would be quick to point out that some of the trash we found along the highway is going to take DOT and hydraulics to pull out of the ditch. We're aiming to get one more agency involved in that, get some DOT help. But a great project, and it's going to be a remarkable trail, which should be largely handicapped accessible. We had folks from ORCA out there volunteering as well.
All right, good. Ms. Crane?
I attended the dedication of the new Forestry Services building. Quite a moving ceremony, very interesting. And ACRC, the Alaska Coastal Rainforest Center, now has an office in the new building and so is well established. Ms. Becker and I also attended the Southeast Regional Resources Center's GED graduation and also the graduation for ESL students. Again, a very moving ceremony and all the students who've really worked hard to make those achievements, and so it was nice to be able to celebrate with them.
Good. Mr. Dibdahl, anything?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to extend one more time recognition and thanks to Chairman of Finance Committee Crane, who did a terrific job, I think, working with the manager and the staff on this budget, and it obviously involves a substantial amount of time above and beyond what normal assembly service does. There were three things in particular that the chair, I think, did a great job on. Number one, consistently asking us if we had additional questions or information requests in advance of each agenda. Second, the meetings, again, were run efficiently, and finally, she presided over timely adjournment of these meetings. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Several things. I wanted to reiterate what Mr. Keel has already said as well. That thank, again, Chief Browning and Assistant Chief Decker, who was my boss for 5 years and 7 years, and there's not been a lot said about the assistant chief leaving, but he also left after 7 years here. And what a lot of people maybe don't see that I got to see was the dedication, level of dedication, the amount of time that folks put in. And as salaried employees, as often happens with salaried employees, many more hours than 37 and a half, and I got to see that. And they've done a wonderful job down there at JPD, and hate to see them go. As somebody else also said, I will start fishing here in 2 weeks. I've spoken with Madam Clerk about on the 17th, I'm going to try and do a phone-in trial run from the boat where we'll be fishing and see that I have coverage. And if I do and I can hear what's going on over the Detroit Diesel, I'll try and phone in for the meeting, the first one to come in. We'll see how that works. Hopefully it will. If it doesn't, then you might see me here again. The function tonight, I'm sorry I missed that function tonight. I was a few minutes late and showed up. One door was locked at the Filipino Hall. I tried to get in the other one. It said invitations only, and I did not have an invitation in my pocket, so I thought I shouldn't just barge in 5 minutes late. So I left and came back here and studied some more for the meeting. But if you're wondering why I wasn't there, that is why. Also, I wanted to say I went on May 26th up to Haines for the Haines Beer Fest, and the group I went with, and a lot of groups I didn't go with, from Juneau, up and back on the ferry, up on Friday and back again on Sunday on the ferry. Everybody seemed to have a wonderful time, and the neighbors up in Haines treated me to a very good time. That was my first one that I've been to, and hopefully I represented Juneau well while I was there. I didn't embarrass anybody, I hope. So had a good time. And
you didn't meet their police chief.
I did not. Okay. I did not. I saw a couple of their members, but I did not meet the chief personally. I had a good time, and if folks can, I would encourage trying to. They hold that at the end of May every year, and try and get up there. It's just fun. Stayed at the campground and used the public showers and had a really good time. Great weather helped.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nankervis?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. And I would just like to reiterate what I did over the Memorial Day weekend. I went on Saturday up and met with the League of Women Voters for an hour and a half, and we discussed different issues that they want to be a part of and have an interest in. The next day, on Sunday, I was the guest speaker at Yakutsk Dakahiti graduation. We graduated 39 more students from that school and that high school, the alternative high school. It was a great ceremony, and I really liked the way they do their ceremony because it's a small enough class to where they do it one-on-one more. And so the counselors come up and read some comments about each student and get them moving forward. I think it was really a great kickoff to their careers in life and that and getting them started. And then the next day was Memorial Day, and I had the honor of doing Memorial Day talk also at the cemetery. As you all know, I'm a veteran and lost a couple friends in Vietnam, local guys here. I know that a number of years ago I promised that I would never be able to be the speaker at one of these things, but I made it through, and I didn't even have to use my crying towel, although I had it right there handy. And it was a really good memorial service, and I enjoyed it very much and enjoyed the little talk that I was able to put on for the people who were there. There was about 150 people there, so it was a good service. If any of you haven't been to one of those, either out in the valley or downtown, you're more than welcome to come to those each Memorial Day and participate. And that's all I have. So we're now into the section of continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Does anybody in the public wish to speak to us about a non-agenda item? Public participation is closed. We'll move into executive session. Madam Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we recess into executive session to discuss the appeal, the continuation of an appeal for the Lemon Creek gravel extraction.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I was not there on that hearing, but there is a second item on there. I was wondering if we could discuss discuss that first, or I can drop off now, or...
Mr. Dibdahl, I put the city manager evaluation in here for executive session, and we're not going to have that tonight. We're going to do that at our next meeting. So we won't be doing city manager evaluation stuff tonight.
Okay, then I'll drop off and just wish Mr. Nankervis good fishing.
Don't get in a hurry, Mr. Dibdahl. We want to keep you on the line as long as we can. All right. Is there any objection to us going into executive session? All right. We'll move into executive session. Mr. Smith.
Thank you. Thank you all.
As I did last time, I'll have to recuse myself from...
Okay. And...
5 minutes.
I can't
5 minutes, and then we'll get started up.
Okay. Good night.
Good night, Johan. Thanks.
This is KTLO Juno. You've been listening to live broadcasting the CBJ assembly meeting.